Hello, everybody, and welcome to our sixth webinar in the series. This one, Leonie will be the presenter, and it's an introduction to astrology. I see that we've got a pretty good audience there, so hello, everybody. You guys have all been here before. You all know how to raise your hands or type in a question if you have it. So please go ahead, Leonie.
Okay, I've just put my webcam on briefly, but I'm not going to stay on because my voice has been lost, and so it's very busy here. The traffic, the upload speed is affected on Saturday morning. So welcome everybody. It's great to have you here, but I'll be turning the webcam off until perhaps later so that you don't lose my voice. So welcome to this great, great science of esoteric astrology. It is my passion. Astrology just itself is my passion, but certainly esoteric astrology. And we'll be having a look a little bit later, looking at a definition for esoteric astrology. The Tibetan said, he gave the most beautiful quote in esoteric astrology. It's on page 5, and he said that astrology is essentially the purest presentation of occult truth in the world at this time, because it is the science which deals with those conditioning and governing energies and forces which play through and upon the whole field of space and all that is found within that field. And so this is a science of energy, and astrology tries to describe or give form to all those various levels of energies that play out from the central life, whether we call that life God, whether we call that life Parabrahman, or just nature itself. Astrology tries to get divination to those energies, and in our personal chart, of course, it relates us to the whole, and so we get a little bit of a better understanding from our astrology chart with how we relate to the whole, how we relate to the environment, how we relate to our soul in esoteric astrology. Next slide, thanks, Astrid. And so if we just have a look at, I've really simplified the definitions here. The exoteric astrology, or orthodox, or sometimes called traditional astrology, and it is the astrology that is commonly known by most people in the world, by most astrologers in the world. If I had to give a percentage, perhaps, of how many people were traditional astrologers and how many were esoteric, I might break it down into perhaps 90% or t to 10%, but that's just a guess. It's not based on any research. And so traditional astrology is concerned exclusively with the outer life of the personality, with the events, happenings, circumstances of the environment. So that astrology is a method of that we consult if we want to find out how to relate with what's going on in the environment. And of course, it is used by a lot of people to find out when they might meet Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, when they might get married, when they're going to be happier, when job opportunities might get better. How they can be successful, what type of career would suit them better. And so these are very important questions, and astrology used at that level is absolutely valid and very important, because we're all included and part of the organism called humanity. But that's as far as it goes. And so in orthodox astrology, there is no, well, some intuitive astrologers have started to use the method that ordinary astrologers use, which is just the normal type of astrology, have started to use it to try and find out about spiritual matters. When the Tibetan wrote his book, Master Zhuo Ko wrote his book, or dictated it through Alice Bailey, I'm talking about esoteric astrology, It was just the most astounding thing because it gave all these different rules and laws for astrology. And of course, many of you may have read that book. And if you had studied traditional astrology first and then you picked up and read that book, I'm sure you would have been like me and you would have been absolutely shocked and gobsmacked and overwhelmed by what you're reading, because the whole concepts and what it is based on, the esoteric astrology science is based on, is just so different. I remember when I first read it, I put that book down and I don't think I opened it again for a couple of years. What I did was I was reading all the other Bailey books and getting familiar with the terminology and everything. And then later, when I picked it up, I found I could understand a lot more in what I was reading. And so basically, esoteric astrology is the science of the soul and is concerned with the unfoldment of consciousness. Now, esoteric astrologers don't just ignore ordinary astrology, we use both methods. And so, certainly, if people come along for counseling and they might ask about certain things, and I always do give them some timing of things. I've got particularly interested in medical astrology lately, and so many people I know are going through health problems at the moment. And so, it's very useful to go in and try and tie in. You can use astrology to tie in what's happening with your physical body to really help tie it in with your psychological and emotional attitudes and tie it in with what's happening out in the outer life, but all behind it all tied in with the soul purpose. What is the soul trying to teach us in this with this health problem, with what's going on? And so everything that an esoteric astrologer does is always related back to why we're here, what we're learning, what any incident that we have noticed going on in the outer life via ordinary astrology, tying that back to the spiritual side of it. And so the two methods are used at the same time with the esoteric astrologer, looking inwards and looking outwards. But if you just remember that traditionally astrology is to do with the outer personality life, the not self, the lower self, and its life, and esoteric astrology has to do with the life of the soul and what the soul wants to achieve in the life, then you will have a good sense about that. Next chart, thanks, Astrid. And so it's important when we're looking at esoteric astrology is to look at levels of consciousness, because that is what it does. We're reading the chart. Esoteric astrologers read the chart according to the consciousness level of a person. And so normally, when we think of consciousness, the common way that most people think is spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body is the buzzword, spirit, soul, body. And as we study esotericism, we realize that body, the material side of our nature, consists of the personality and the mind body, the emotional body, and the physical body. So I've just sort of changed that a little bit here, because in the when I do astrology, I'm looking first at the unconscious level of a person. Then I'm looking at the personality conscious, soul conscious, and spiritual level, or spiritual conscious, though I don't usually do that level of astrology, because I would be trying to do the astrology of someone who's way beyond an advancement where I am, and so my insight into such people is not that good. And besides, they don't usually come and knock on my door and say, "Can you help me with what's going on in my life?" They've got it sorted out. So I'm generally, most people who come to see me are on the unconscious level, and I would just have to explain that a little bit, because I use that. This is my own way I use it. It's people you rule by their desire nature, by the emotional nature, and therefore they are ruled by their astral elemental, the little nature life of the astral body, and it controls people by keeping them swinging in consciousness between pain or pleasure. And so the Tibetans said most people on earth are still at this emotional level. So even though normally unconscious is not equated with emotional, that's the way I personally use it. And I use that word because the personality type of consciousness is someone who is aware of themselves, whereas the unconscious people who are emotional don't have a good, strong sense of self. Just click it again. Thanks, Astrid. I think I've got another panel to come up on that slide. Yes, there it is. So there we've got. So in the chart, the moon and its sign represents unconscious people. And the moon is often related to the emotions, as you astrologers out there would know. And so that is an appropriate way. So when we look at the moon, what we are looking at is the unconscious life of people, or those aspects of people that tie them to the past, tie them very, very much to the past, and that could be past lives. So we're talking about psychological patterns, ways of relating to the world, ways of relating to other people, ways even of relating to ourselves, which are dominated by the emotions. So moon people, lunar people, unconscious people, by my definition, because the mind has not really become developed enough to control the emotional body, and it's the mind that gives us a sense of self or the I-ness. People who are controlled by the emotions don't have that sense of I-ness, and so their definition or their identification with themselves is usually very, very weak. They sometimes feel, often they identify with the emotions. Oh, I am a very emotional person. Something happens. Oh, I feel terrible. Whereas a person who has an intellectual development would say, I don't like this because of that. So they're in the mind body and talking about what they, how they are seeing a situation. Whereas lunar people don't do that. They very much identify with how they feel about a situation. Now, of course, all of us have the same. We have very strong feelings. The further you progress on the spiritual path, you get more sensitive. So, of course, we all have these feelings, but we're not ruled by them. In a sense, we have feelings, but when we have a sense of self and when we are centered and aligned with our soul, we certainly have a more objective way of looking at what's going on within us, and something that is not there with the lunar moon type people. Then when the personality consciousness starts developing, that means that the mind is getting very strong and it's starting to analyze things. And instead of just being ruled by the emotions, now it's starting to think more clearly. And personality type people are often ruled by their ambitions. The mind starts thinking about what it would like in the world. The emotions help it do that. Oh, I'd like to be rich. Oh, I'd like to be famous. I'd like to be powerful. And the mind starts figuring out how it can get those things, how it can grasp those things that the emotional body or the desire nature would like. And in the process of thinking about the things and what one needs to do to grasp and take those things, the mind gets stronger and the personality starts forming. In terms of the rays, what has happened is that the mind is cracking the emotional ray into line and the physical ray into line, and it's starting to dominate them. And when those three rays, three bodies come together, then from that the personality arises. And so this is the personality, this new field arises, and in your ray work you would be familiar with that by now, that the personality ray Only actually in my studies, I believe it is the last ray to fully form. Yes, the soul is gradually coming through the soul ray, but I have found in my studies, very interestingly, and I don't know if you have found it as well, but that people usually start becoming aware of their soul and their higher ideals and their inner heart vocation before they fully form and finish completing that integrated personality, which gives rise to the good old personality consciousness. And so when we look at astrology with a sun sign, very often a lot of people aren't personalities in the way that I have just defined it. I have found that most people either identify with their moon sign or with their ascendant sign, which in non-spiritual people has more to do with the image one is trying to project. So this manufactured a part or creation that we're manufacturing to so that we can get the approval of people that we want the approval from, or so that we can fulfill our ambitions or whatnot. That's the lower aspect of the ascendant sign, and so very often people are projecting the lower aspect of their rising sign. Now, as you may know, if you've been studying esoteric astrology, that the ascendant sign will reveal soul consciousness or an aspect of it, but certainly not in people who are not in touch with their soul. And so when we look at the sun in a person's chart, traditionally we're looking at the personality. And so what does this personality want? What does this ego want in life? And we look at the sun sign and we look at that to try and get a good sense about what it is that the person is born to develop, because the personality consciousness, it's such an important, its development is just so important for our spiritual growth. We have to get very clear about who we are as a personality, develop that I am I, me, me. Consciousness, selfish consciousness, it's just normal and natural part of development. We can't jump from being unconscious, emotional people up into these spiritual people. We have to go through the mental plane, the lower mental plane, and by going through the lower mental plane, we get this me, I, self, and it helps us develop a good, strong personality, symbolized by Leo. Good, strong, arrogant lion strutting around is just the most perfect description of the well-developed, well-grounded personality consciousness. And it's only when the personality is developed that the soul will come in and try and control the lower nature. If the soul comes in and tries and grasps its lower nature before it's integrated, well, it's just like a car that hasn't been put together. The wheels are still lying somewhere. The engine is over somewhere else. The seats are lying somewhere else. And so if the soul comes through and tries and grasps that personality, control it, there's nothing to grasp. But once the car is assembled, all the wheels are there, the engine is in place, and the driver is sitting in the driver's seat and thinking the personality, now where am I going to go in life? And driving off to be rich or famous or whatever, and doing it beautifully because the mind is functioning excellently. It's only when that stage has been developed, when the Leo, in a sense, symbolically Leo is present, does the soul come through and try and grasp the personality? And then what happens, of course, for many lifetimes, you've got this big battle that takes place in consciousness between the soul and personality. And so this great battle gets taken for control of the mind, control of the emotional body, control of the mental body. And so, and the Tibetan talks about this, if you've read Discipleship One book by Alice Bailey, wonderful book, you should really get it if you haven't got it. because he's talking to his disciples, and he's using this language, and he's talking about which ray, which the soul ray, which body it's working through, and which body the personality is working through. And so you can really get the most excellent understanding of the rays if you've got that book and you read how, when he's talking to his disciples about how they're using their rays. A lot of it you will relate with. And so it's only, and so we've got, when we've got this, these two levels taking place, and the soul comes in, then we've got this battle. And so what is soul consciousness? When we start looking at the soul and what it wants to do in the, a chart, in the life, then we're looking, we're using esoteric astrology. And the primary place we look is at the ascendant sign. So I said that this was going to be a very simple presentation as far as astrology goes. And that, so what we will be looking at today is the moon sign as it represents the unconscious, the sun sign as it represents the personality consciousness, and what we need to do to develop personality. And we're going to be looking at the ascendant sign, sometimes called the rising sign, and that's at that point is at 9 o'clock in the chart. And we're going to look at a chart shortly so you will get an idea. And soul consciousness, when we start developing that, then it's distinguished by the qualities of wisdom, lovingness, inclusiveness, compassion, understanding, empathy. Whereas the personality consciousness, until it's being infused by soul energy, illuminated, it's very much about I, me, what I want, my ambitions. It's very, very, very ambitious. And the unconscious, of course, is distinguished by emotions and by desire. But desire and emotions also affect the personality level very strongly as well. And so when we look at a chart, what we're trying to do is, once we've identified the unconscious, the emotional side, the moon sign, what we're trying to do is identify the negative pattern that controls us. So I'm talking about it in a personal sense. When I look at my chart, I look at the moon sign and I say, right, what is the unconscious pattern psychologically that controls me? The unconscious pattern that's based on my desire nature and my emotions. And so I look at the sign, mine is Scorpio, Libra, by the way. And so if you're an astrologer, you say, well, that's the negatives of Libra are imbalance. You say, Leonie, perhaps her unconscious pattern is that she can procrastinate and try to be all things to all people. And I was, you know, so that was, took me a little while to really identify that in myself. But that's the way that you use the moon sign. Simply in a pattern to try and understand people, yourself or other people. When you look at the sun sign, once you've identified the sign, then that sign will tell you a lot about negatives that the personality plays out, but also about the positives, because both in the moon sign and the sun sign, it's telling us about negatives in our psychology, but it is also telling us about the positives that we need to try and replace those negatives with. So with my Libra moon sign, and I'm imbalanced so much of the time, well, naturally I need to try and be more balanced. That's the positive of Libra. I need to learn to be more decisive, which is a positive of Libra. Likewise in the sun sign. Now I've got a Cancerian sun sign, and if you know about Cancerians, their negatives is very much they have defensive, emotional people, like to hide away, shy, but defensiveness is their great protective tool. And so all cancerian people have to really try and overcome that protective, hiding in your shell, pulling your head in and hiding away when things get a little bit tough. And then if somebody pushes you too hard, pushes a cancerian, they come out with their nippers and will go at you in defense. But the positive side of cancer is that they're very intuitive in developing the intellect and the intuition and really developing that side of it and not allowing the emotional side to rule it. So cancerian people, the higher side of that is they're very nurturing and they do mother and protect younger souls. And we've got quite a few cancerians have been famous in the world. For example, the Dalai Lama. I think he is it Cancerian Sun or Cancer Rising? I just forget which it is. But Helena Blavatsky had Cancer Rising. Michael Robbins has got Cancer Rising. I think the Pope, the latest Pope, has got cancer somewhere, could be wrong. But anyway, cancer, it's there, even though on one hand it's an emotional sign and very defensive. The higher side of that is that cancerian peoples are very sensitive to the whole and they're very nurturing to their brother, sister souls and younger souls. And that's the great gift, the higher gift of it. And then when we come to the rising sign, what we're trying to do there is we try and identify the positives of that rising sign because those are the qualities in particular that the soul is asking us to develop in this life. Those are the qualities that will really help round out our psychology and help to bring our personality into right alignment with the soul. So that is how that we use esoteric astrology and on those three levels, and by working with the moon, the sun, and the ascendant signs. And that is as far as we're going to go in this broadcast, this webinar. Next slide, thanks, Astrid. Now I've got a. We're going to be looking now at a little chart here, and this is a chart of Prince George, the new little king. And so we're going to do an esoteric interpretation of this little prince, and it's such an interesting chart. Well, all charts are very, very interesting. And so, if you ever look at, and I would encourage you to do this, you can get charts from, I think, astrology.com. If you put in, all you need to get a chart is you need to know the date someone was born, the time that they were born, and where they were born. And then it will give you your birth chart, which is your destiny chart in a way. It is the chart and the model. It's a energy reading of so much about your life and the pathways opening up before you. But in a simple term, when you're doing this sort of simple reading, first of all, is you go and you look for the moon sign. And so you will see down the bottom left part of the chart, we have the moon there, and I've got it later. I won't go any further than that. I think I've got it later in a chart what sign it is. So we have the moon, and it's for the astrologers, you will recognize it's in Capricorn in the second house. But then you go, once you've found the moon, then you go and look for the sun, and you can see it's up towards the top right hand. There's the personality. It's in the sign of Cancer, the eighth house. And then at 9 o'clock on the left, which is where the ascendant always is, we have whatever sign is on that part of the chart that is the soul purpose part of the chart, esoterically interpreted. And so what we're going to do now and for the rest of this webinar is have a look at this little prince's chart. But before we do that, next slide, thanks, Astrid. What I have done for you, and thanks, BL, for fixing that for me, is what I've got there is just a little legend that will give you the symbols and what they mean. And so if you want to play this, and I'm talking about if there's anybody new out there, and I'm going to ask later when we start taking questions. Oh, no, perhaps we might do it now. Could I have hands up? Could anyone who's just really a raw beginner, could you just click your hands up, please, so I can get a sense about how many do know astrology or have started astrology? Okay, there's two. All right, you can take your hands down. And so I'm saying there that we've got 10 attendees, so there are 8 of you. Oh, well, that's great. Well, I'm very glad that there are Bebe and Brenda. So if you're new, I'm very, very happy, because what astrologers tend to do, and all you astrologers, most of you astrologers, you will know, is you tend to get into the language of astrology. And so I'm trying to be very careful this morning that I don't automatically click into this astrology speak, which is a whole esoteric language of its own, and astrologers understand each other, but people who have never studied astrology, of course, don't know that, so they don't follow. While we're doing that, does anybody have any questions so far? And in fact, you can always put, please, I really love questions. So does anyone have a question, would like some clarification on how far we're just at where we're up to at this point? Good, no questions. Okay, so for Bebe and was it Brenda, so if you want to play with this, this is what you have to learn. And these are the astrology, on the left-hand column, of course, we have the astrology as symbols and what they mean, the signs and planets they relate to on the right. Next slide, thank you, Astrid. And so on the next slide, what I've done is put in a little bit more. Oh, I thought I'd put in the signs. No, I've got that on the next slide. And so, oh yes, so here we have here the same chart for Prince George, but I've got a little bit more information. So in the bottom left corner, the moon, the unconscious, is in Capricorn. It's in the second house. I should have put that on it as well. And his sun, his personality, is in Cancer. And his ascendant sign is in Scorpio. So, excuse me, I'm just having a little bit of trouble with my throat. So what this means in just simple speak is that his major negative in his psychology has to do with the negatives of Capricorn, and all you astrologers will already be figuring that out, what it means. His personality is in the sign is in Cancer, but it's at the very last. It's only a couple of minutes before Leo, so he really has a lot of Leo energy in him. But nonetheless, he's still very strongly Cancerian, and that is what the little symbol, the Cancer symbol, is there. And if you have a look in the chart, you will see the circle of the sun and the little two, the 66-99 thing up on its side, which is the Cancerian symbol. And the personality represents what one must do now, in the future, today, to develop a good, strong personality, the personality negatives to get rid of, and the personality strengths to develop. That's what the sun sign means, whereas the moon sign very much is the prison of the soul, is the way that it is interpreted. There is a psychological pattern of the nature of Capricorn that is imprisoning the soul. And so Prince George has come into this life, and his chart is telling us that the major psychological pattern that would imprison his goodness, his consciousness from expanding, his altruism, it is a Capricorn type thing. And so I'm going to be interpreting that a little bit later. And with the sun sign, as I said, it is what he needs to develop the strengths and weaknesses of that. But the particular qualities that he needs to develop, his sole purpose in this life, is Scorpio, which is the sign of the warrior. And so just have a little think about that before we go further. Immediately, this is the future. By the way, the moon represents the past, and that could be also past lives, because the moon represents all the baggage that we've been dragging through our incarnations and that we've also dragged into this life to let go of. So that's what the moon represents. And sometimes for intuitive astrologers, you can sometimes get a glimpse of a previous life by meditating on the moon sign, but you want to be careful if you do that. I don't encourage anybody to do that, because you could open up the doorway to the astral plane, the lower levels of the astral plane, and open it up to dark places where we've been in the past, and none of us want to do that. But that's what the moon represents. There's a lot in that sign. The sun sign has to do with our present personality consciousness, what we need to develop today to be good, strong, healthy personalities on Earth. We have to know how to stand up for ourselves, how to know to stand up to bullies, to deal with fraudsters and all these people that are out there trying to take advantage of good people or innocent people. If we're dumb and in our emotions and we're idealistic and we believe that no one is going to hurt us because we do our meditation or whatever, if we're not thinking intelligently, then we could be taken advantage of by scrupulous people out there. And so we have to learn to develop our discrimination, our ability to really analyze what's going on around us in the world, and that's the personality. And with my Cancerian personality, it's telling me very much try and get over your emotionalism and think very clearly. Don't identify with what's going on in your life. Don't confuse it with your emotional body. Leave that aside. And yes, use your intuition, but also hook into your intellect, because in Cancer, it always, if you read esoteric astrology, the development of the intellect is a very important part of that. And so this is what I'm having to do, and we're going to look at George shortly. And I also have a Scorpio ascendant, so I share with Prince George, and I didn't pick his chart for this, but he is a Cancer Sun like me in the 8th house, and he is Scorpio rising in the last decanate like me, so I can really identify with him. But what he's needing to do, the new development for him, is to learn to fight. To learn to fight for himself, to be the warrior and stand up and fight not only for himself, of course, but to fight very much to protect the greater good. And so we're talking about a future king. And each king, of course, or ruler, of course, they really dominate the consciousness and represent the consciousness of the country that they rule. And so if we step out of George's chart temporarily and we have a look at political figures, for example, well, Obama's chart, if you have a look at that, it will tell you a lot about the American psyche. Now here in Australia, if we look at our Prime Minister Abbott's chart, it will tell a lot about the consciousness of Australia as an organism at the moment. And so for the British Commonwealth, the Queen Elizabeth, her chart says a lot about the psyche of the Commonwealth, the consciousness of the Commonwealth as a whole. And so who knows what the world might be like when George, if he ever comes to the throne, who knows if there will be a Commonwealth? Who knows if he'll ever get to be king because of the way things change? But if he does, we're looking at the chart that's going to reflect the consciousness of the people that he's ruling over. So it's very interesting to think that Scorpio is very strong in his chart, and therefore if he gets to sit on the throne, he will display that side and will use the higher side of Scorpio in the way that he rules. And it's very nice to think that there might be a person coming to a place of influence where they're going to be a warrior and not afraid to stand up for the human rights. Scorpio people don't care about being politically correct. They come out with their sword and they start fighting because they always fight. I'm talking about the eagle now and the higher consciousness of Scorpio people. They fight for human rights and what is right. So this is the sort of person that George is going to be doing. So you can see that I'm already interpreting it. So I better move on. So there's so much you can get from a chart if you just ponder these things. Next slide. Thank you, Astrid. So I've just written that down, what a little bit about that, and click it again. Thanks, Astrid. And so what the moon means in George, we've got the unconscious, the prisoner of the soul is in Capricorn. The sun, the personality, is in Cancer, and the ascended, the soul purpose, is in Scorpio. Now, the way that you have been taught, and you are being taught in Moira Fed, is to use the labor of Hercules to do exactly what we're going to be doing. And so we're going to be looking at the myth, and for the moon, we're trying to find what the myth is telling us about the pattern that imprisons the soul. For the sun, labor personifies the personality, and they're seeing in what the soul wants the person to cultivate. So we go now over to the next slide. Thank you, Astrid. And what I've done there is I've put up the first part of the labor of Hercules. I may have cut it down a bit to get it on, but here's what it says. The slaying of Cerberus, guardian of Hades. So Hercules is shown a vision and he sees a man lying on a rock. While I'm reading this, try and get a sense intuitively of what you think the negative pattern might be. So we see this man lying on a rock. He's shackled. And remember, he's in hell. We're looking at hell. When we're looking at Capricorn, we're looking into hell. And this is what Hercules is looking at. That Prometheus lying on a rock, hands and legs shackled, and a fierce vulture pecking at his liver. The man is crying out for help. The shackled one is Prometheus, the teacher said. For ages has he suffered but cannot die, being immortal. From heaven he stole the fire, for this he has been punished. The place of his abode is hell, the domain of Hades. And then Hercules was told to go down and release them from suffering. So, who would like to have a go at interpreting that as for Prince George and for his life as a prince and a future king, and try and get a sense of the type of psychological pattern that is his undoing or the prison of his soul. Please don't be shy. Put your hand up. I'm hoping that we'll have one or two people who would like to have a go at that. If not, I'm going to, I've done a little interrupt. Good, Brenda, if you could be Ellen, let Brenda have a little go at this. All right, Brenda, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, let's have a go.
Well, I'm just thinking that his shackles may be the constriction or the limitations of the royal family. And that he needs to learn how to, I'm not very good at articulating words, sorry, that he'll need to find his own ground within that so that he can come out fighting and come to his Scorpio warrior thing. So,
That was very, very good, and you really got to the heart of it, because that was exactly what I thought of as well. Has anyone else got insight, other insight of how it really has to do with tradition? Because look, Capricorn, as you know, Brenda and everyone else, it's a traditional sign. And so it is the traditions of the past that will limit him. I couldn't have put it better than you, Brenda. That was very, very well done. Mm-hmm. And thank you for that. And so that is the a prison of soul. And can you see, Mariam, okay, could you... all right, Mariam, what would you like to add?
Hi. Well, I was just looking at it because his son's in cancer, that he has to overcome, like, his grandmother's fear of stepping up to actually be his ascendant sign.
Good. Okay, well, thank you very much for that. So what Marianne was doing was putting the moon and the sun together, and that is what you, and so did Brenda as well. Brenda put the moon and the rising sign together, and that's what you do when you're doing astrology. Is usually when I'm interpreting, I do them singly, moon, sun, ascendant, and then I put them all together. And that was very good. Thank you for that, Marianne. So it's all about being shackling. And that, and if, you know, it's, you can get so much out of this, the fierce vulture pecking at his liver, which is our energy part of us. And if he doesn't learn to do that, if he doesn't learn to overcome this, it would absolutely devitalize him. It's like a vampire sucking out his lifeblood. Vampires are related to Scorpio anyway. So you can get the sense that if he doesn't learn to control this pattern, because it's embedded in him, that it will put him in hell and it will devitalize him. So it's very interesting. So let's go now, click it again, thanks. Yes, I should have put this up. It symbolized the prison of the soul. What is this? Imprisoning the consciousness of such a person. So we've just done that. Can we move to the next slide, please, Astrid? Thank you. And so we're looking at, and just click it once more. And so we've got just what that's about, and then and once more. Yes. So now we're going to look at it. What is it now? We had a look at his past and what is really imprisoning him. Now we're going to look at his personality and try and identify what he needs to control, the weakness of it, but also the strengths. So while I'm reading this, try and get a sense about what it is he's needing to develop to be a strong personality on Earth, a strong sun sign, so he can hold his ground and be the ruler of his environment. It's such a very important part of our development. So I'll read this. It's a bit more obtuse, I think. Upon a hill nearby stood a slender fawn. Then Hercules heard a voice come from the moon. Artemis, who represents the emotions, emotional body, who warned Hercules, the doe is mine, so touch it not. Mine it must remain. Then interviews Diana sprang, representing the mind, the huntress of the heavens, the daughter of the sun. She likewise claimed possession, not so, she said, Artemis, the doe is mine, and mine it must remain. Then a commanding voice said, the doe belongs to neither maid, O Hercules, but to the god whose shrine you see on yonder distant mount. That was a shrine of Apollo, by the way. Go rescue it and bear it to the safety of the shrine and leave it there. Through the fourth gate sprang Hercules in pursuit of the fawn, but whenever he drew close, the two goddesses foiled his efforts with subtle deception. The hunt went on for a full year, until close to a quiet pool he saw it sleeping, wearied with its flight. So there are two questions I'm going to ask. First is, what is the negative that Prince George is needing to overcome? What is the myth trying to tell us? So please, let's have some hands go up again. And good, Tracy again. Oh, Tracy, no. Hi, Tracy,
hello.
How are you?
Hello. Good, thank you.
Let's have a go at this then.
With all the different voices, it makes me think of being able to find your own voice among the mass of voices that you're hearing?
Good, yes. Well, I think that's absolutely right. And the thing is, for the astrologers know this, Cancer is an emotional sign. It's a water sign. And so all water sign people are particularly needing to really learn to control their emotional tides. And so the unconscious, you know, all these negatives that come up from the conscious associated with the emotional body, you're not good enough, not this, not that, exactly with what you've said, Tracy, all these different voices coming up for our unconscious can really prevent us from being strong, etc. But as well, perhaps you were meaning all the voices around him, because he's going to have his parents guiding him, his grandmother perhaps guiding him, he's going to have his minders guiding him and everything. Everyone's going to tell him what to do, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and that's great. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to that?
Not really, other than agreeing that I think there's the emotional level of his own voices to overcome and those of the thoughts of all of those around him, just as you've said. Yeah.
Absolutely excellent that, Tracy, you've got that. Is there anybody else who can bring a different insight? When you're trying to intuit something, sometimes you can get some really unusual or come in from a completely different perspective. What we do see here is the mind and the emotions are both fighting. And what are they fighting for? Consciousness. It's the consciousness of the Cancerian. And then, so the second part of it is, what is the positive? What can we get from that? Because I should have finished the myth, but what happens is we see here that after this hunt, it says for a full year, but actually that can go on for lifetimes, there comes a point when consciousness gets really tired of all this running around and fighting within itself, and it settles down and it's tired and it goes to sleep. And I think that perhaps everyone, would you identify with that, a time in your life when you got really tired of the emotional turmoil and the turmoil of your personality and all the things that go in your life, and you just want some inner peace? And you, and isn't that, I know for me, it's what started me searching for some inner truth and led me to the path, because I had to deal with my emotional stuff going on. And so I can really identify with that doe sleeping and weary. And what happens with the rest of the myth, it's quite beautiful. The soul comes and picks up or Hercules representing the soul comes and picks up the doe and carries it to the temple of Apollos, which is like the causal body or the home of the soul, it could be interpreted. So, and it's quite beautiful. So does anybody else have anything else they can get out of that and would like to add for our little prince? Okay, so we might think being a Cancerian sun, and once he's started to do his inner development, he will be a very sensitive to people around him. And let's assume he's coming, I mean, I believe his mother is a disciple or initiate, his grandmother, sorry, Queen Elizabeth. And so his lineage, and his father is very aware as well. So his lineage, I think, is he's probably come in, he's been on the path before, and so he will be spiritually aware. That is my opinion, and so that is what I think. So he will, once he's dealt with his own emotions, likely probably this, because the soul tries to grip the emotional body and bring it into alignment with the mind from age 14 to 21. So I would expect by the time that he's 21, we would expect to see this personality being really quite well developed and start to see the type of man that he is going to be. But I would expect by that age that we would see him nurturing and protecting his those around him, his family around him immediately, his schoolmates, but also I would expect him with his Scorpio rising especially, that he might start stepping out into life and having opinion about what's happening with a family of man, because Cancerians, as we get as they get more evolved, start identifying with higher level families, and the ultimate family that the Cancerian has to identify with is the family of man. Next slide, thank you. And so we'll look at his Scorpio. It's just so wonderful. If you haven't read The Labours of Hercules yet, you need to go into them and read the Scorpio one, which I think is the most wonderful at time. And I've really cut this down to get it on the page. Just click it once more, thanks, Astrid, so we can get all those points on the page. And once more. In the festering swamp of Lerna, a monstrous hydra lies. Of course, this is in all of us. This in our unconscious, in the bowels of our karma, you might say, we've got the hydra. The Tibetan calls it the dweller on the threshold. Nine heads this creature has. Before we go further, the interesting thing is the Tibetan said it's not till a very advanced stage after the second initiation, technically, that the Hydra comes out in its full battle gear, the dweller on the threshold, to do a battle with the Angel of the Presence. And that's when the huge battle takes place between, and only then is the personality defeated. So we're talking about little bit, there's a lot of little battles that we have to fight in the meantime to try and cut off one of these heads or fix one of these heads. But anyway, let's read the myth. Nine heads this creature has. Prepare to battle with this loathsome beast, Hercules was told. One word of counsel, we rise by kneeling, we conquer by surrendering, we gain by giving up, go forth and conquer. The Hydra sprang at Hercules. He cut off a head, but two grew back. Again and again, Hercules attacked the raging monster, but it grew stronger, not weaker, with each assault. Then Hercules remembered that his teacher had said, we rise by kneeling. Kneeling, Hercules grasped the Hydra and raised it aloft. In the purifying air, the light and light, the monster died. The victory is won, the teacher said. The light that shines at gate the eighth is now blended with your own. But the important point here in this, and everyone who studied esoteric astrology knows, that in order to defeat our emotional side, our desire nature, we have to hold our consciousness up in the light of the soul, and that's what the symbol means, that we kneel and we raise it up. Now, let's relate this to our little prince. So how can we, and who would like to start thinking about, we've looked at Capricorn being shackled in hell, Cancer, he's needing to be his own person, overcome his emotions, and now we're being told he's got to be the warrior and he's got to raise aloft his consciousness. But not only that, he's a representative for the world. So what can we get from this intuitively? Who would like to have a go at interpreting a little bit more about his astrology based on the rising sign Scorpio, but perhaps also on his moon and sun signs as well? Come on, let's have a go. Put your hand up. Brenda, good. Let's have you. All right, Brenda, what do you think?
My first thoughts is that, got to articulate it, that he's, you can't fight fire with fire. So he's going to have to be in the world, and especially in the royal family, in a very different way than what is there now.
Yes,
if you understand what I mean.
Oh, I do. I think that's brilliant. And that's such good interpretation of, I hadn't actually thought of that. And so do you have any suggestions how he might do that? For example, what is it that we see in the royal family today that he might particularly have to come about in a different way?
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. But I keep thinking like the Dalai Lama's struggle in Tibet. You know, he's had to be so passive, and instead of, you know, fighting with anger and you know, that sort of line of defense. So Prince George is going to have to be strong yet clear on where he wants to go. With things, yeah.
Yeah, that was very, very good. And using the Dalai Lama as an analogy was excellent as well, because what we do know is about him, for years he was very much pointing the finger all the time at the Chinese invasion and everything, but over the last 10 or 15 years he has not done that. And so he actually changed tactics partway through. And so it really does support what you were saying. That's excellent. Thank you for that
very much. Thank you.
And is there anyone else who would like to have a Marion? Hi, Marion. What do you think?
Well, what I actually thought, I thought it on the last slide as well, he actually needs to find stillness, the stillness sort of within himself. And when he can find that, then he would set up a huge example, because sometimes you can't make people do things, but if you actually show it in your being, then people will follow easily.
Yes, that was wonderful. Yes, of course, that's right. And the rising sign traditionally means what we see, what we identify. So you are right that, building on from what you've said, that the fact that he is a warrior, people will see that and be more courageous as well. Thank you for that, Marion. And Tracy, I see you've got your hand up. What do you think about this?
I get a feeling of him being able to approach or make people more aware of life being based on an intuitive approach rather than based on materialism, and finding a pathway to from the Cancerian side, learning how to become more intuitive to the going back to the Capricornian moon, which can be based in materialism, so releasing that approach that we have to a material life, becoming more intuitive, and then through the Scorpion section, it just really reminded me of how we work releasing the personality up to the soul, and becoming a much more intuitively guided person rather than that of being a materialistic money guided person. So seeing the whole approach to how the royal family work in the world based on a less, I can't quite find the words now, but sort of based around a losing of materialism and move more to an intuitive approach to life on the world stage.
I think that was very good, and it does, yes, absolutely. And you can see from what you've said, it sort of supports what I was saying before, that a ruler's chart does represent what's going on in the consciousness of the people. So it's very positive, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tracy. And I see, Marion, you've got your hand up again. What would you like to add?
I just had this sudden flash of him being like the Buddha, leaving his family and going out and actually seeing what the common people actually live like.
No, that's very interesting. Yes, and we can see, thank you for that, Marion. We can see that the cancer sign, because his mother was cancer as well. Sorry, his grandmother, Diana, she was a cancerian. And so she was very much in touch with people, and people loved her. So we can see the same thing probably happening with George, that the people will really love him, because of that. He will have what they call a common touch, and can go out and really relate to people, and people will relate to him. So I really see that as well. All right then. So no other comments, I see. Okay, well, we've got one more. So we'll just look at that last slide. And I've just put a little bit of an interpretation there, just so to give you an idea. If you could click over, thanks, Astrid. And it will give you an idea, but all the ideas that have come forward from everybody, you can see how this works. So I've got just come here, Capricorn negatives. So the psychological prisoners, a raft of negative core beliefs that we believe about ourselves, that convince us that we are shackled, tormented by evil, and we are helpless to resist or to change what is happening. And so the Capricorn type of negatives we went over. Balance the personality. In his, George's case, cancer negatives and positives. Cancerian is hypersensitive and flighty, flitting from the emotions to the mind to the soul, but nothing is grounded, and there is subtle self-deception. Eventually, we weary of this and will learn to be still. And when we do that, of course, the soul can come and assist us to make that alignment with itself. And that was Hercules picking the dough up and carrying it to the temple of Apollo. And then the rising sign cultivates Scorpio positives. Rise by kneeling, learn to be humble and grounded. Raising the hydra, raise any problem, delusionary thoughts or threats up into the dispelling light of the soul and hold it there until light breaks through. And so we expect to see a very intuitive man develop from George, and a warrior, and he will certainly be someone who fights for the higher good. So those are all the notes and all the slides that we have so far. And so I just want to encourage you to think of just how simple astrology can be. We didn't go in and look at the aspects. We didn't go and look at the house. And of course, if we did that, we will get so much more detail in George and his life and what he needs to do, etc. But you can just do a really good astrology reading as far as consciousness goes, and giving advice or counsel to people about the types of aspects in their nature that they perhaps need to be looking at and developing, which qualities or traits to try and balance and to control, and which qualities to cultivate, and which are the most important negatives to control, and the most important qualities to develop. And I'm talking there about the moon and ascendant sign opposites. And so it's as simple as that. You can take this even further, you know, and I touched on the moon. You really look in past lives, and the as it represents. The sun represents so much about what we can achieve in our personality, outer life, and our ambitions, and that the sun will tell us. The rising sign represents the future, and I believe it represents our future lives. And when we really start getting insightful and encouraging, and building the alignment to the soul, and especially when we find our heart vocation, I believe that we are making a link to our future life. And what we do in terms of our spiritual development in this life, and by finding our soul vocation, our service, and if we find a service we love, it has to do with our heart, it's coming from the heart, and it's helping people, then I think we're building a link to the future, and we will pick up that work when we die, wherever we are, until that time, we will pick the thread up again in our next life and carry it on because the rising sign represents the future. And so I could intuit from George's chart that he's going to have a scorpionic aspect in his next life, and he will be coming in as a fighter, carrying on what he began in this life. So I've just spun that out a little bit more just to give you a sense of just how much you can get from just looking at this, the moon, the sun, and the ascendant signs. And that brings me to the end of the presentation. And are there any final thoughts at all that anyone would like to add about George's chart, or just about the wonderful science of esoteric astrology generally?
We do have a question that Brenda actually typed in. So then does the rising in the next life become the sun sign?
No, we can't say that. What the Tibetan did say, Brenda, it's really, really interesting, and I can't remember it as BLU might know where the quote is, but he says somewhere that whichever sign the sun is in when we die, that is our sun sign in the next life. Do you remember that quote, BL?
Yes, I do, and I'm trying to remember where it was he said that. For some reason, I always related it to Alice Bailey, and so I'm wondering if it was in some of the books that she actually did.
It's in esoteric astrology.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there you go. Was that question from Brenda?
David said it's Rule 10 in white magic.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so are there any other questions then, or thoughts, final thoughts?
I don't see any, but I have a final thought. Yes. We're getting ready to start a series of four webinars. That'll be the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in this series for Great Quest. And they're specifically going to be on the labors of Hercules. So I will take three labors each month. Our next webinar is going to be on the 10th of July. And I would like you guys to take the slides when you get it, with the recording for this, and kind of keep this in mind with your own moon, sun, and ascendant, because as we go through all 12 of the labors, I want you to be able to do this and discuss it. So whatever labors it is that we'll be doing in July, if you have an ascendant, a sun, or a moon in those particular labors, then I would like to get some insight from you on how you think that's working out in your life. So I want to, I want to have that interaction with you as we go through those next four webinars. Okay?
Oh, that's one. And they will be wonderful. So I've turned the webcam on. So I really like the personal contact with everybody. And so saying goodbye for now, and hope you come along and join Belle, myself, and Astrid in the next of these wonderful labors of Hercules. And will you be looking at different charts as we go through, Belle?
I hadn't really finalized all of it. I've got the notes and everything, but I hadn't really thought of it, but we could do that. As a matter of fact, if the students who are participating would like to send me their birth information, then maybe we can use your own charts as we go through as examples.
That would be absolutely wonderful. All right then, well, that brings us to the end. So until next time then, lots of love, and we'll see you soon. Okay,
bye now. I'm just going to unmute everybody so we can say bye real quick, since there's not that many of us left.
Namaste, everyone.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Okay, I can't unmute you, Marian, I'm sorry. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.